to you a scripture found in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. It should sound familiar. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be afraid," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That first Easter morning, when the women were making their way to the tomb to anoint the body of their Lord, they had one question on their mind. One question: who will roll away the stone? That's a good question. I guess it makes sense because it was a very large stone. That's what scripture says. Scholars believe it would have taken about 20 grown men to roll the stone into place and to roll it out of from in front of the tomb. So it makes sense that these women would be wondering who was going to roll away the stone. And as they approached the tomb that morning, the question that weighed heavy on their hearts and minds was, who is going to help us remove the stone? You see, the stone represented something that was a block to them. It was preventing them from doing what they wanted to do. And as long as that stone was there, they couldn't do what they wanted to do. They wanted to enter the tomb and anoint the body of Jesus. But the stone was too big for them to move. I guess you could say it was an obstacle. Have you ever felt that way before? That there's an obstacle in your path? There's something blocking you? Maybe you've heard yourself say, "Who's going to help me with this? Who's going to help me remove this heavy weight in my life?" I can't help but think that that's what Jesus' followers were thinking in the days following his crucifixion. I'm sure they felt like they were in a dark tomb of their own. Those were dark days. Their beloved friend and Savior was dead. His lifeless body was placed in a tomb, and a stone was rolled in front of the entrance. And that stone was sealed. The light was gone. They must have felt like they died too. They must have been completely beside themselves, lost, alone. They scattered. They denied him. They hid. And not only did they lose a close friend, a companion, and a teacher, they thought he was the Messiah, the one that would save the world. But now, nothing. Darkness. He was dead, lying in a tomb. No grand revelation to the world. No army swooping down from heaven to rescue him and put away the persecutors. He was dead. And they themselves descended into a darkness. I think sometimes in our lives we encounter things that send us into the darkness as well. And we feel that we have become entombed. Sometimes we feel like there's a heavy stone preventing us from getting any light, any hope, any peace. We feel like there's no way out. And sometimes we even feel like the walls are closing in on us. Now, I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Those times when you feel alone and overcome with grief. Those times when you feel like you just can't take one more negative thing happening in your life. Those times when you feel like the world is just weighing you down. those times when terrible things happen, and you just don't understand why God would allow it to happen. When we go through those times in our life, we feel like we're entombed in darkness. We live in the stale, cold dampness of the tomb that encloses our soul. Imagine yourself there. It's cold. It's empty, completely void. Our heart aches. We can't see anything. It's pitch black. We can't hear anything. We don't know the way out, and we don't know if there even is a way out. The light is completely gone. We don't know where to step for fear we could fall or trip. So we are paralyzed in place. We manage to shuffle our feet a little bit with our arms outstretched until we feel the cold brick wall, stone wall in front of us. And we start to follow the wall because we think it's safe. And it's the only thing that we know is there, right? We can feel it. We don't have any idea which direction we're going, but we still try to find our way out. We're making progress, or at least we think we are. But it could be the wrong way for all we know, because there is no light. The cave can be very overwhelming. It can be unbearably scary. It can be suffocating and lonely. And like the women who went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, we begin to wonder, who will roll away the stone? Who will come and release me? You see, these stones, they're real. They're real. They come in different sizes and different shapes. Maybe the stone you're facing today isn't as big as the one that was in front of the tomb. Maybe it is. But I can tell you that if it's a stone, it has one purpose: to trap you, to block you. Do you know the purpose of the stone? To prevent you from going where Jesus wants you to go, from being what Jesus wants you to be, from living life in Christ. The purpose is to trap us into thinking that we'll never be able to overcome whatever it is in our life that we're suffering from. It's too big, the challenge is too hard, you might as well just give up now. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, the thing I love most about this scripture passage is when the women asked themselves that question, who's going to roll away the stone? There's no way we can get in there. They didn't turn around and leave. They still went, right? I love the fact that when they remembered the stone, it didn't stop them. It wasn't an obstacle for them. They kept going. And then what happened? The miracle. The miracle. When they got to the tomb, the Bible says that they looked up and they were surprised that the stone had been rolled away. It wasn't blocking the tomb anymore. The obstacle that was trying to defeat them had been rolled away. Now think about that for just a moment. The thing that they were most worried about, the thing that you're most worried about, if you don't give up, if you keep pushing, the miracle is just around the corner. Mary walked into the tomb and she saw an angel, and the angel said to her, I think it was exactly this, "Well, hello, dear." Pretty sure that's exactly what he said. "Are you looking for Jesus? He's not here. He has risen." And you see, the problem that she was facing that day was met with a promise. She was facing the stone. But what she was met with was a promise. As soon as the angel told her that he's not here, the Bible says that she was reminded of the promises of Jesus. Remember, he had been telling them, I'm going to go away, but don't worry. I'll come back. The temple will be torn down, but don't worry. In 3 days, it will be rebuilt. See, when she heard, he's not here, he's risen, she remembered those words. Sometimes when we're walking through the difficult situation and there's obstacles in our path, it's hard to remember the resurrection promises. Those promises that this too will pass. You will get through this. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My strength is sufficient for you. Sometimes the stones are so real in our lives that we feel like we can't see the promise, remember the promise, believe the promise. But I can tell you today that Jesus is alive and he is still rolling stones. Now, I hope this Easter Sunday makes you look at those obstacles in your life in a different way. Those things that are trying to weigh you down, those things like fear and anxiety and addiction and hopelessness and grief and financial troubles and divorce and anger and bitterness, you put whatever label on your stone you want. I hope that you look at those differently. And the next time you run into one of those stones in your life, I hope you look at that stone and you say, I believe in the God who can roll away stones. If you're facing a stone of discouragement today, I want you to be reminded of the resurrection promise that he heals the brokenhearted, that he binds up their wounds. If you're looking at the stone of fear today, I want to remind you that God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's a resurrection promise. Amen. With every stone in your life, there's a promise. They make whole books about it. Do you know that? What are you struggling with? Anger? Well, here's a scripture passage for that. Here's the promise of God that goes along with that. Just like that day when the women walked to the tomb, the problem that they faced was resolved by the promise. Whatever problem you're facing can be resolved with the promise. Know that whatever stone you're facing, there is a promise to help you overcome it. There's a promise to strengthen you. He still heals. He still delivers. He still sets people free. And today on this Easter Sunday, the tomb is open.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Jesus has risen. He is not there. And just like that day 2,000 years ago, the tomb of darkness around our hearts, our souls, our minds, can be opened if we just call out to the one who can roll the stone away. That's why Jesus suffered and died for us. You know, he died to pay the price for our sin. But he rose again so that we can walk out of the darkness and into his glorious light. If you know the Lord and his saving power, then you know what that is like. And for those of you who don't, I want to offer you an invitation today to come into the light, to see how his promises can change your life. Some of you are believers, you believe, but you're enclosed in a tomb. You find yourself with a stone rolled in front of the entrance. But today you can ask Jesus to move that stone. So I want to just have a time where we can bow our heads and close our eyes, and I just want to have an invitation for anybody who would like to receive Christ as their personal Savior, if you'll just raise your hand while we're... Let's bow our heads. If you'd like to receive the Lord as your personal Savior, I just ask you to raise your hand right now, and I want to pray for you. Amen. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I've seen the hands that have been lifted to you. Father, I pray for those who don't know you, who want to come into a saving relationship with you. Father, I pray that those who want to surrender their lives to you and accept you as their Lord and Savior, that you would just allow your Spirit to move in their hearts right now. And Father, as they confess their sins to you and as they confess their belief in you, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just overwhelm them with joy. I pray for those who struggle, Lord, who do believe but struggle in this world, in this life. I pray, Father, that those who are finding themselves blocked from all that you have for them, Lord God, that you would remove the barrier, whatever it is, that is blocking them from walking in your perfect will for their lives. Father, that you would just remove that stone and that you would just walk with them in your glorious light. Father, we thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that promise means to us, that we can now have access to God the Father and that we can be reconciled to God. And not only that, but we can have life abundantly here on earth and we can have life eternal with you in heaven. Father, we pray as we leave here today that you would just bless our conversations as we fellowship with one another, that you would just continue to use us and to minister to others, to speak truth into their lives. Father, if it's your will that we share the gospel today, we just pray that you would open the way for that to happen. So, Lord, we just give you honor and glory today, thanking you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Love one another.
And